I have purchased a new Braille display. I've been looking at it for a long time, and it's called the DotPad, and it's made by a company called Dot Ink, and they're out of Korea. And there are resellers in the United States, such as AT Guys and Selvus. So I bought mine through Selvus, and they also offer commercial loans for them. Well, there's two main multi-line Braille displays out in the United States beyond the graffiti. One is the Monarch and the other is the DotPad. And the Monarch is much more expensive. That's $18,000 and that's running Keysoft. And I bought the DotPad, which is actually just a display. And you can hook it up to iOS, Android, or JAWS and NVDA. And what I'm going to do is today is I'm going to do, and I'll probably come back with more demos with this, but today is just the demo of different things you can do with it. And right now I hope to have it hooked up to JAWS, and I have my speakers on, so you'll hear what my speakers say when I pan. So right now I'm on the Vibug website, and the first line across, let me at least explain what it looks like. It's about the size, a little thicker than an iPad Pro. And it's about the size of an iPad Pro. JAWS says it has 8 lines of 20-cell, equivalent of 20-cell Braille. The Braille's a little bit different. There's a little tiny bit more spacing between the cells. And then below that, you have below the grid with the 8x20, you have a row of keys. 2 triangular keys at the outside, and then 4 function keys in the inside. The 2 triangular keys are for panning. And then below that, you have 1 line of regular 20-cell Braille. So, for example, within JAWS, the 1 line of cell Braille, what it shows is it just shows your status, where your cursor is, and it shows you whether you're in structured Braille. So, for example, I have 001VS 0101. So the 0101 means that my cursor's at the top of the top row, top column. I'm not sure what the VS is, but so on the display, I have the web up and it says I've got Vibug, visually impaired, and blind users group. And the visually impaired, I have it on within JAWS. You can change, of course, whether it's on grade 1 or grade 2. So we have the line Vibug visually on the first line. Second line, impaired and blind user on the second line. Third line has group. And then fourth line says welcome to Vibug. Fifth line says H1. And the sixth line says Vibug, the visually. Seven, line number 7, impaired and blind user. Line number 8 is group. So then I can hit my panning key, and that will bring me to the next 8 lines. And I think it somehow skipped something, because at the top it says Massachusetts serves blind and visually impaired users of computers and other assistive technology. If you'd like to know more about us, you can download our flyer, which is available as, and then that's the whole display, and you can pan again. This works with Word. It works very similarly. Now, when you're in Word, you have to rely on where the cursor is. And if you want to edit your document, you actually edit it with the keyboard. It does not have routing cursor buttons, but you can also use the JAWS split function. So what that means is I could have half my display with one document. Say I want this website, a Vibug website, and I want to maybe have the Vibug email on the other. And this will be something I'll demonstrate later, because I haven't had enough time to play with this yet. And you can define the line numbers, how many lines you want. And you can go into the JAWS settings and have, say, 4 lines of the Vibug website open, and then 4 lines of the Vibug email open. Or 4 lines of any other website, and say another 4 lines of my document of it that I'm writing open. So say if I'm trying to write something down from the web, I go up to the web, I define that I want 4 lines of you up there, and then I go into my as I'm writing, and you can define which lines you're panning. You can define which lines you're, which, you know, which area you're panning. And so what it would do is you'd have your 4 lines of Word up on top, and you'd have your the web out on the bottom. So you'd go, and then you'd copy, you know, write down from whatever you were reading, you'd write down the information you want in your document. Now I'll go over to Excel, and I'm going to Now with Excel.
There we go.
All right. So right now I have an Excel spreadsheet out that I was making off as a set of ham radio operators and their names and addresses and stuff. It has the individual ham radio and they have call signs. So, for example, my call sign is KA1BZE. And there's another fellow here whose call sign is VE3HXP. So I have a whole list of call signs. And what happens with the Excel is you have 8 rows of the first column showing on the display. But if I right arrow to the next column and it has Jeff as he's the first person's name under there. So what I have now is I've got a whole list of people's names. So the first one is Alan S. Charles is one of them. And Martin R. Bort. So that's the next one down. So then if I go over to the third column, it'll give their address, each one of their addresses. So you can look at each one, and then you can also pan down to go to the next set of. And then as you move your cursor, as you follow around, it will follow you as you go, basically. It also has in between the lines, between the first and the second column, it had, in case there was a little bit of the second column, the first column, after the first column was over, it had a vertical line demarcating that was the end of that column. So on this one, where it has the names, it doesn't have that demarcation, I guess because the names could be longer. Now, the other thing on this is when you're doing a spreadsheet with the numbers, when you're reading, say, for example, when I was reading all the words, for example, the call signs and then the words for the names of the people, it was left justified. When you have numbers, they have it set up so it justifies itself to the decimal point. So that if you had a column of numbers, say I made a spreadsheet that had 10 columns of numbers in a row, all going down each column, and I wanted to sum that column, or I wanted to read through that column, it's all justified. So all your decimal points and all your cents are in the right columns, and all your dollars and $10 and $100 are in the same column. So you can just slide right down and, oh, okay, what was my highest expense? I go to my $1,000 column and I just slide right down and, oh, I don't have anything in there. Okay, good. I was cheap this time. So that's how you can use Excel. And I think, what's on the bottom? The bottom is just, I don't know what the bottom means right now. A 102, I know, so that means it's in row 1, column 2. So it has that, but it has some other stuff before it, so I don't know exactly what that is. I'd figure that out. But now the other thing, we'll go to VoiceOver. Now, VoiceOver does something different with the cell on the bottom. What it does is it reads you, it shows you the column that you're on versus where JAWS does something completely different. All right, so I'm going to go to VoiceOver here. Now I'm going to hang on. Let me undo this, undo that. Okay, get my iPhone.
Moon Artemis overview. Overview right. Shoot of the moon showing both the light and dark side of the moon.
Is this loud enough?
The moon taking up most of the image in the darkness of
yes.
space with varying sizes of critters riddling the surface. Light is coming from the left.
Let me say one thing about JAWS. Right now, JAWS does not have any graphics for the dot pad. They say it's coming, but they're a little bit ahead, I guess, on the graphics on the other displays versus for the dot pad. With the iPhone, you get graphics and you get written, and you can make your choices as to whether there's a choice, and it's in the rotor when you hook up the dot pad. You can choose whether you want just text, or you can choose text and images, or you can choose just images. One of the things I did this morning was I went and I had Ira find me a picture of the moon Artemis, the Artemis pictures.
Moon Artemis.jpg image.
Now, so
actions available. The moon against a black background.
All right. So the moon against the black background. That's the description that the iPhone is giving it itself under the recognition feature. I have the screen recognition feature on. So right now, what I have up is the exact image that Ira got for me, and they put it in an email, and they've also described it, and I'll read you that, or have you hear that description. You probably heard it a minute ago, but let me describe to the best of my ability what this surface feels like. We've got what feels like a full half circle, right? And then around, and it's from, say, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock is that half circle. And on the edge of that half circle, there are what feel to be like little mountains. Like some of the lines going across at the very edges are further out in some areas than in others. Say, for example, at 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock, the lines going the farthest most right lines are at the same vertical level. I get to 2 o'clock and there's another horizontal dot living out there. And then I get to 1 o'clock, I go back to the same level, vertical level that I was at. And then as I go around, oh, that was 2 o'clock. Then I go around to 1 o'clock and there's two less vertical dots in there. And as I go around to the vertical, it's very similar. So it looks like little mountains where some, as I go around the edges, some are sticking up and some are not. And you can, it feels like little mountains or hills, I'll say. Now there's also, for example, on the top left at 10 o'clock inside the moon part from a little bit down from the top, there's a rectangle. And the rectangle's 5 cells high and 3 cells maybe wide. And what's there is a no space. There's nothing in those cells. So what that means is, I guess that's a lighter spot. And what that apparently is, that's a crater in, that's a crater of the moon. And what you're seeing or feeling there is the sun going into that crater, and you're seeing the sunlight in that, the light of the sun in that crater is what I think is going on. Of the drawing here, the image is a full circle, and the IRA agent said that's another crater. And then on the left toward the bottom is another crater, and it's taken out like as if it was almost like a parallelogram, the top of a parallelogram. It's thinner at the top and a little wider at the bottom, and then you don't see the whole bottom of it. That's another crater. So he sent me a couple of these images, and they're really cool to feel. Now, with the Braille on the iPhone and the iPad, you can set it up so that if you're on the web and there's an image in the website as you go along, it'll get to that image and you can feel that image as it goes along. You can also apparently, you can pan them. I haven't had a whole lot of success with pan and zoom yet. I was working on it, but I don't have a whole lot of success playing with it, but you can do that. And so, for example, but I'll go back to this. Here's the description that the IRA agent wrote.
Actions available. Moon. Jeremiah McCullough. Address. Button. 2. Gaffney. 1126. As attachment. Moon Artemis overview. Actions available. Moon Artemis overview. Overview shoot of the moon showing both the light and dark side of the moon. This shot has the moon taking up most of the image in the darkness of space with varying sizes faux critters riddling the surface. Light is coming from the left. Moon Artemis 1.jpg. Image. Jeremiah McCullough. /him. Visual enter. Message header. Inbox Comcast. Right. Message header. In Moon Artemis. Okay. Inbox yeah. Comcast.
Now I go back to my Comcast. And I'm back in my emails. And now I have a full set of my inbox. And the first thing it says, unread messages. And I've got a back button below it, next message, previous message below that, next message below that, previous message below that. And then it says to summarize, message button. So those are the eight different lines that are on my display. So now with the iPhone, as you're using that or using the iPad, the line that's on the single 20 cell display is the line that your cursor is focused on. And as you move around, it's fat. It's very fast.
Comcast, back button, messages, Comcast, back button, Comcast, 715, Comcast, 715, iCloud, no, inbox, no, unread messages, drafts, button.
All right, so now, all right, I'm on my home screen.
Health.
And it says health.
Settings.
Now, I'll try to move. And you may be able to hear the display. I'm not sure.
Health.
Done.
Settings.
Done.
Health.
Done.
Dot canvas.
Done. Now, what you're also feeling on the display is with every icon, it tells you on the 20-cell display, it tells you what you're focused on your whatever screen you're on your desktop there. It tells you whatever you're focused on. It tells you the name of the app that has focus. And on the 8x20 grid display, you can feel the actual icon, what the icon actually feels like. And so like with the mail app, you can feel the little piece of the envelopes that's you know, where the top shuts and you can feel the edge of where that top of the envelope goes across the other and it's angular, just like a regular envelope surface is. And you can feel the surface of a book. You can feel that it feels like it's as if it would be a book. For example, when you're in your inbox, it just as you slide down, it just changes, and it's very, very quick. Now, one of the other reasons I bought this one, other than the price, the Monarch, their cells are a level or version behind the dot pad version of the cells. So they refresh much faster than the Monarch does. And I didn't want to run Keysoft.
I looked this thing up on the web yesterday, and it said something about 300 braille cells and then 20 cell display. It was probably the worst description of a product I've ever seen. But so you're saying this is actually 160 braille cells, 20 in each of 8 lines, and then a set of keys, and then a 20 cell to tell you some information that JAWS or VoiceOver will do different things with. I'm curious why that seems so different.
It's a different configuration. It's not the exact 6-cell configuration. It's 8 cells, of course, but the dots are a little bit spaced a little bit differently. So that's the JAWS, and I don't remember now whether it's 30 by something, whatever makes 30 by 3. I don't remember the configuration that DotPad has, that Dotting says it is. But what JAWS is saying is that its best positioning of textual lines is 8 by 20.
Okay. And what are the keys that it has?
It's got two triangular keys at the end, one on the left, one on the right, and then 4 function keys in the middle.
Okay.
And 2 of the function keys have a little line going across the bottom. Now, some of the function keys some of them, you can program them, and you can also change them in VoiceOver. I don't know yet about JAWS. And also, you can reassign, I think, some of the function keys as well. I think JAWS, you can change them as well. Now, for the function keys for iOS, it's pan left, pan right, and then there's F2 is escape, and F3 is enter, and let's see, there's also double swipe forward, swipe backward, and enter and home are the functions that you have, because some of them are combinations of different ones.
The picture of the moon sounds really cool. I think you said you weren't quite, hadn't gotten to where you knew everything about the panning stuff, but I was just wondering, it sounds like if you pan, it kind of almost does like a page, but could you have taken the moon, or do you think eventually you could take the moon and you only have like the top half? Could you slide it up like a little, almost like a line at a time, so that, you know, as the moon comes from the bottom?
Yeah, I got to play with that, because there are functions that in the rotor you can actually vertically pan and horizontally pan. Then yeah. I don't know. I'm trying. That's what when I tried to figure it out this morning, when I vertically panned or horizontally panned, it made it go off the screen. So I don't know whether you can pan by line or not. I know you can zoom, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet. Now, I thought maybe David Woodbridge had done a demo on it. And the price of this is $6,559.
So it's like a third of the price of the other one.
But it's equivalent to the price of the latest
Solvis 7,
whatever that's called.
Yeah, that's 6,000. You had said that you could have technically 2 documents opened at the same time. Actually, you had 2 Word documents. Is there any way that you can grab text from one document and put it into the other?
Well, that has nothing to do with the display.
Okay,
it's just the display.
Right, but would it show it?
You would use your keyboard keys.
Yeah, and so it would just...
Yeah, when I was putting together a presentation last week for my ham radio stuff, when I selected information, it actually underlined it on the Braille display.
Right.
And then I could copy and then paste it and put it where it was. With JAWS, there's a bunch of things you can make it do. You can set it so that it shows the first, I don't know, 10, 15 cells of each line. So, for example, what that would do is it would help you see whether what indentation you had or if you had any on your document. Like, for example, if there were any extra spaces, you know, that you had in the beginning of a line and you didn't realize it. Or, you know, if you want to have a line separating different paragraphs, you could set it up that way and feel it to say, I forgot to put a line in between these 2 paragraphs.
It would definitely be good if you're doing Python programming, right, so you could see the indentations and stuff.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons, too, is I wanted to do that with the playing with the Swift, Apple Swift, programming and stuff here.
Swift, yeah, Swift.
And it works with Kindle. They have an app called Dot Canvas. And what happens is you can draw on your iPad. You open the Dot Canvas and you choose a pen. And there's a default pen, but you choose a pen and you draw on the canvas with your finger on the iPad. And what you draw shows up on the dot pad in dots. To say, for example, if I drew a circle and I drew a circle on my iPad, it would just show up in the Dot Canvas app when I had it open. You can also, it has little templates. You can get a filled circle, an open circle, there are different little drawing things you can put in there as well.
One of the things I do from time to time is try to work on my handwriting a little bit, at least on my name signing. You said you hadn't tried that app yet, right?
Yeah, I've used it a little bit. Yes, that is definitely shown me printing that some of the letters I could improve on, and it showed me how it needed, say, this one, oh, it's a little crooked. The bottom of that E is crooked, or maybe that M isn't as straight as it should be here. The other thing is with the dot pad, they've opened up the interface to it so that you can program it yourself. I haven't started that yet, but I will play with it. And I know the man that runs AT Guys, he has a couple of games over there on his website. I think it's called braille.atguys.com. He's got tic-tac-toe and he's got checkers and I think he's got chess and I think Battleship was up there too. And because I was using JAWS, it only said the words that I was, it said X when it put the X in the right, in the proper spot that I wanted the X. And for some reason, it only put what I typed in there. JAWS didn't put what the computer typed. So I played chess. I played tic-tac-toe yesterday and beat the computer. Like, all right. But it only put X's in the spots that I put X's. I don't know. I got to go play with that. And I'll have to play with it with the iPhone or the iPad and see what it does, what it looks like. Yeah. I think, too, that they have libraries, public libraries, where people can put things up. And they've got, I don't know, I guess I don't know much about this book. There's something called Aesop Fables. They've got drawings with it, with audio.
Being able to eventually draw things. I mean, this would be great for, you know, mobility or when people are trying to explain, you know, intersections or something, you know, how they work. Or
that's amazing. The other thing that I'd like to get. And I have played with maps, but I'm not successful with them. It just looked like kind of a blob, so I haven't figured out.
I'm following up with a clarifying question. So you're saying, if I understood what you said in answer to my earlier question about the number of cells and stuff, that there are different ways for that thing to be set up?
No, it's how it's set up, but it's not set up in the same exact spacing as an actual six or eight cell. The spacing is a little bit different.
Okay, because what the website said about 300 cells was just confusing when you talked about the eight lines of 20 braille cells, if I understood you correctly. That's why I was asking that question.
Because for some reason, the spacing of the cells for graphics is different than the spacing of the cells for braille text. And that's the 8x20 is what JAWS says, that's how they set up their text within the grid. Now, what you're talking about is the, what was it, 300 by what? What was it? What was the dimension?
It only said 300 cells. It didn't give a number of lines or a number of cells on a line. Actually, what you say about the graphic makes sense to me, because you might want the spacing to be different between all the parts of a graphic, all the right, you know, little things on the graphic, as opposed to the braille cells where you're actually reading words or other things. So actually, that would make sense to me. The description was not very good as far as I'm concerned. Also, the price they gave up there was like $12,000 to $15,000 or something. You're saying six?
See, what you're looking at, that was the original okay. version of the dot pad.
Okay.
Although the hardware is the same, except for the cell version is put together differently, and its refresh rate is faster than the first version. But the exact hardware outline and hardware is the same. Like, the specs are the same. It's just... And I think the sizes, probably the sizes of the cells themselves are probably the same too. But there's so much you can do with JAWS that I haven't even gotten to. But it's all with the JAWS, it's all text. And to be honest, it works with NVDA, but I'm not a tremendous NVDA user, I haven't tried it yet with it. And I don't have it working on the Mac either. I tried it, but it only shows, it's not showing any of the graphics.
Earlier on, you said something that sounded to me like you were saying the quality of the Braille on the dot pad is ONAC. Is that what you meant? Or
no, what I said was the refresh rate is faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the cell versions is a version newer on the dot pad than it is on the Monarch. Now, whether it's better, I have not seen a Monarch, so I don't know.
So this has 20 cells, the dot pad, and how many does the Monarch have? I mean, as far as per line.
I'm not sure. Also, I do know, though, that this is much more affordable than the Monarch.
The Monarch has 5 lines of 32 cells, as I understand it.
Okay.
Oh, it's 5 lines. Okay.
I think it has more than that. I think it has more than 5. I've seen it. I don't remember, but it's huge. So,
yes,
absolutely has to have more than 5.
I've read 5.
Wow. That somehow doesn't sound right to me. I've seen the Monarch, and 32 sounds right.
I actually think it is 5.
5.
I think the reason that it's looks bigger
it's wider.
It's wider at the 32.
Does it have a keyboard?
The Monarch actually has keys that you use to do other things. But I don't remember if it's Perkin style only, whatever, but it does have some keys.
Did you say, Margaret, that Selvus BLV is selling this?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Just so everyone knows, I just looked at the Ubuntu website and it looks like they're claiming the Monarch has 10 lines of Braille, 10 by 32.
Well, and I specifically wanted something that I could carry around and be more mobile with. And the price was, you know, that's a big difference. That's, aside from that, I wanted to work with the themselves. I didn't want to be under Keysoft.
I just want to go back to that picture of the moon again, because I think you said the moon, it was showing the moon in a dark sky. I'm assuming the light was where dots weren't, and
yes,
dark is where
sun,
dark.
Yes.
And so was it outside of the moon, was it all the dots up?
Yes, yeah, so where you would find the dark part is where the dots were up, and where the
so the whole back of it was all the
yeah, but it was it was a whole circle, half circle dots up. Now you can invert it.
Yeah, okay, that's exactly what I was going to ask. Okay, and that's like just by flipping software flip. Yeah, okay.
You go into the rotor, and it's just a choice of invert. It's under. I forget what feature it is, but once you hook up the dot pad and you go into your rotor, you have more choices and you just have to make sure, I don't know, I just went in and all this stuff showed up in settings that I could add to my rotor and I just added them all. What it seems to do is if you're looking at a regular Google map, it seems to look at the text and the images separately. So they're not a combined thing. So
right,
you see text, and I'll see all the names of the roads, but that's all in one area. But I haven't gotten to the point where I'm looking at roads yet. It looked like a big blob. I couldn't. It was a shape to the blob, but I couldn't figure out yet
what it was.
Years ago, Museum of Science did something where they gave you 3 tactile images, and it was actually the same thing. One was where it was depressed, one was where it was raised up, and one was where it had different levels. And I tell you, what is this? And you know, if I look at it, no one really figured it out. Then they handed you what the actual object. It was a stuffed chick, like a little stuffed bunny chick type thing. And after you knew what you were looking for, it made all sense. So there's passive recognition and active recognition, and one is much easier to deal with than the other when you expect it. Yeah.
That's a problem for those of us who were blind since birth. I didn't have, and I never did any 3D drawing. I learned it. But when I was in engineering class, I thought of things as they really were, whereas my sighted colleagues would draw them as they would look on a 3D paper.
As a congenitally blind person, what you don't understand unless you're taught it is the whole idea of drawing something in perspective.
So I had a friend who taught me the 3D, and he took, the square erasers, and he cut them up to show me all the different views and showed me how it was drawn.
I just checked the APH at Monarch. It's 15,500.
Oh my God,
it went down.
And they have over 1,000 of them waiting in stock just for everyone to order.
Wow. 15,500.
15,500.
Oh my God.
My theory, too, was I would rather work with the apps themselves and the phone app and the the iOS rather than be stuck on their operating system. I can't open up my iPhone and just connect this and read it. And if I want a drawing package, I have to use their WYSIWYG. Or if I don't know how you would use it to read, you know, stuff on the web like I did.
Yeah, you have the Canvas app and you could like draw on things and things like that. How far are we away from having a pen camera where we could just...
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, just move a pen over something, get something and get a similar... Yeah.
The other thing, too, is I don't know when I have to figure this out. I'm going to try to take the images of the moon that Ira gave me and put them in the Canvas app. I don't know how to do it yet, but I'm sure I can probably do that. You can use AutoCAD. I used it by using it point-to-point drawings. What I would do is I would draw my starting, use the command to put my starting point at a certain geographic location within the drawing.
Yeah, you can do that.
And I would do point to point from there and do my drawings that way. Tedious, but it worked.
If you do a drawing, where can you, and you wanted to save it?
They give you a My Drawings folder, and then also they have a folder up on the cloud that you can save things up there as well. And I haven't figured out how you share them with other people. I don't know where other people share them with you. Mm-hmm. And I do know that they have a whole... There's a 12-page document on using .canvas for sighted users. One of the original things when they made this for the .canvas was so that TVIs could draw drawings and things for students. Well, I hope this was useful, and I'll keep you up to date as how I go and learn with it, and hopefully I can start to learn to develop with it as well. I didn't know what I said. I did get a loan for it, and it was through Selvus had a company called Affirm. And so I set up a loan with it, and the interest rate was reasonably small. And they had different interest rates. The longer you had it, the higher the interest rate went. So, you know, I got as small as I could. So I think I'm only paying 5% interest or something like that. I don't know.
Was the Affirm application pretty accessible?
Yes. I mean, usually when you're looking at an Excel spreadsheet, you're usually looking down the columns.
You really need to see more than a few different things, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to just see the whole thing, you know, as much as you can.
I didn't think I would like the 20 cell, but I do because it's just enough width and just enough lines that I like it.
The split, you said it to split it top and bottom. Is it possible to split it in half left and right?
I don't know.
So with the physical layout of the dot pad and having to use the keyboard to operate it, is it really cumbersome to...
I use the keyboard on my... I have a laptop right here.
And you
use as the dot pad out to the right.